topic, Receiving from God Through Faith in His Word. Receiving from God Through Faith in His Word. The major way we receive from God is by faith in the written word. By faith in the written word. We're going to take Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. Habakkuk 2, 4, NLT. It says then, look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. The righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. And New King James Version says that the righteous shall live by faith. The proud are the ones who trust in themselves, who choose to do things their way, who go by their five senses and not by what God said. The moment you start deviating from what God said to do things your way, you are proud. Because humility is to submit to God, to submit to God's ways of doing things, to follow God's directions, God's instructions. The Bible made us to understand that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. In other words, it's not just the natural food is not just enough for you. That keeps your physical body and that helps you to keep alive. But the real you needs to be fed. And the food for the real you is the word of God. And that's why I said you have to feed by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So God designed that everyone that has submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, or everyone that has made Jesus the Lord over their lives, should live their lives in the manner that is consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And what does that mean? It means we live our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. You cannot please God when you're living by your natural senses, by your five senses. If you feel good, do it. You cannot please God. The Bible said in John chapter 8, 7 and 8, John 8, 7 and 8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who just follow their head and not their heart, that's following the Spirit of God, you cannot please God. That's your carnal minded. You go by your five senses. The Bible said you cannot please God because you are not subject to the law of God. What is the law of God? The law of God is obedience to the faith. Obedience to the faith. You find that in Romans chapter 1 verse 5. You find that also in Romans chapter 16 verse 25. We are called to a life of obedience to the faith. And that's why he said we should walk by faith and not by sight. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We are called to follow the wisdom that comes from the mouth of God. And we know, of course, who that wisdom is. We're going to get to that very shortly. So then, no wonder the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, Hebrews 11, verse 6, we're not having the scriptures on the screen. Hebrews 11, 6. I'm reading from AMPC. It said, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please and to be satisfactory to him. For whoever will come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. So, he said, you know what the word means? It is impossible. It is impossible to please God without faith. You cannot live satisfactorily to him without believing in him. He said, for whoever will come to God, you must necessarily believe that God really exists. Like we are talking this morning about tithing and all. If you really believe that God exists, you don't need anybody to tell you to pay your tithe and to give your offering. You must believe that God exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. So this thing that God said, you can't please me without it. You see why it is very, very important that we get to really understand it and get to live by it. So what is faith? Faith is practical expression of total confidence in what God already did for us as it is written in his word, which is the Bible. The practical expression of our total confidence. What is that practical expression? Like, pay your tithe, and God said you should do it. Then the next thing is, you respond by doing that. You practically demonstrate that, look, I believe God exists, so I go ahead and do it. Practical expression of total confidence in what God already did for us, as it is written in his word, which is true, despite the facts before you that your natural senses are showing you. Perhaps you consider all that you need to do with that money and say, well, if I give this one, then this money will not be enough for me to do this and do that. You reason, human reasoning, which is contrary to what the word said, which is the truth. You positively respond to what God did for us in Christ as written in the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible said there, we don't have it still. It said, now faith, can we read it together? Ready, go. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Amen? So you see, faith perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the natural senses, which means it's not saying that those things don't exist. But the only thing is that you don't see them with your natural senses, with your five senses. You cannot see it with your physical eye. But because the word covers it, you just simply believe. So that's why it is faith. It's the assurance of the confirmation, the title deed. You know, when you buy a house, they give you your title deed. So when you say, I now own a house, what is the proof? You present your title deed. Amen? That is the confirmation that you actually own a house, even though the person you're telling has not physically seen the house. But that house exists somewhere. So faith is the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. You can think of anything you're hoping for, maybe your health, maybe job, maybe whatever it is. If the word ever said it or covered it, and you believe in that, that is faith. So he said, being the proof of the things we do not see. You don't see it, but it exists. You don't see it. It's not saying that it's not in existence. It is there, but it's in the spiritual realm. And because, and you know, the word of God is spirit. And if the word said it, and you agree with that, say, oh, the Bible said, oh, then that's it. And we sing it in song. If God says it, and I believe it, what happens? That settles it. Amen. So that's why he said it is the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real what is not revealed to the senses. So when I say I am healed, even though he's telling me here, this is a physical evidence, which is a fact, but the truth, the word of God says, he healed me, and therefore I stand by what the word said, I am healed. And as I patiently wait, and I keep thanking him, standing on what he promised, that will become a reality, finally. Amen? So faith is not what you must do to make God respond to you or answer your prayers. He already responded to us in Christ Jesus. When God gave us Jesus, he gave us everything. The moment you receive Jesus, you receive the promised Holy Spirit, by whom you begin to understand the things God has made available to you, by whom you begin to assess the blessings that God has already provided for you. So faith does not move God, for God already moved for us, the whole world, by grace. That grace of God is undeserving, unmerited favor. Your faith will never move God. God, or if God is waiting for you, then Jesus will not die. The Bible said in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were what? We were still in sin. So if he was waiting for us to get corrected so that he would not die, then he will not show that love to us. So he responded by grace, but then by faith you appropriate what God has already provided by grace. Grace is undeserving, unmerited favor. So when you respond by agreeing, then you receive the physical manifestation of that which he already provided for us in Christ Jesus. So your faith is kind of the hand with which you receive what God has already made available. If God has not made it available already, then your faith doesn't have any basis at all. Amen? So your faith is the proof that you have what God said you can have. If God already said that in the Word, and you believe it, then you can bet on it that is yours. So, like for instance, salvation. God already made salvation available to the whole world. But you choose, when you heard the good news, to believe. And the very moment you believe, that very moment, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, washes away all your sins, and God stamps his image. Automatically, you become a child of God. Because without the Spirit of Christ in you, you are not a child of God. But you have to hear the good news first. The Bible says, how would they hear without a preacher? And how would they believe unless somebody tells them? And what are they going to tell them? The good news, the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace, the fact that Jesus already paid for our sins, the fact that we have been reconciled back to God, but that is, we have to take it by faith. In other words, we have to agree, we have to believe. Amen? That's why the gospel of grace is called the word of grace. If you look at Romans chapter 10, verse 8, the Bible says there, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It is the word of faith. It is the word that you have to anchor your belief in. That's why we say that if the word does not cover it, then there is no basis for your faith. Amen? So, by faith, we make what God already provided by grace our own. You possess it. You make it your own. You make it to manifest in the physical by your agreeing with what God said. That's why he said, without faith, it is impossible for you to please God. Because they that come to God must first believe that, look, I believe God exists. And that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So every other thing we receive from God, apart from salvation, also comes through believing what God said. And they all come through his promises. 2 Peter 1:3-4, the Bible says there, for his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited for life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellent virtue. By means of this, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceeding great promises. So that through them, what are the them? Those great, his precious and exceeding great promises. So that through them, you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. Whatever Jesus needed is a matter of seeing, and the thing happens for him. And God wants us to be partakers of divine nature. And he gave us his wonderful and precious promises. And he gave us these promises because he wants to fulfill them in our lives. God intends to fulfill his promises in our lives. That's why he gave us those promises. God cannot give you what he doesn't intend to fulfill. Otherwise, you become a liar. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10:23, it said, let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. God is faithful to his word. He can be depended upon. If he ever said it, all you have to do is just simply agree with him. Believe, and it will to just simply happen. So he gave us his son while we were still in sin. So what makes us think he will not give us every other thing that we need for life and godliness? That's why he promised that. The Bible said in Romans 8:32, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? So everything else that he has promised us for life and godliness, he will give that to us, but you have to believe, you have to agree, you have to put your faith to work, and those things will be happening for you. So in other words, faith happens the moment you find a promise from the Bible that covers whatever you need. In other words, our senior pastor has been telling us, dear my beloved husband, whatever you need, find a scripture that covers that. So the moment you find a scripture, that becomes the basis for your faith. Because the basis for faith is the incorruptible seed of the word of God. The moment you find a scripture that covers whatever you need, that is the beginning of your faith. So once that word covers it, and then you believe in it, then you step out in action. Amen? I don't forget when I know that, you know, since 2003, I had this high blood pressure. And then I remember each time I would go to my doctor, the thing is like it's going higher and higher. And this woman would be telling me, Dorothy, do you want to see your grandchildren? Dorothy, the thing will even frighten me the more. And she will keep on increasing the dosage. And I will watch my husband. I say, how come that, nothing is happening to him? I was taking Tylenol. And I know this Tylenol, I will finish one bottle. Within a short time, I'm buying another one. It got to a point I had to begin to buy the biggest size. And the thing was always on top of the fridge. And before you know it, it's finished, and I'm buying another one. To the extent that they started giving me gifts for buying a Tylenol from them, ShopRite. And then I was wondering, I said, how come, in spite of the fact that I'm taking high blood pressure medication, I still have to take Tylenol every day, that I have to take, four Tylenols to go to work. I will take one in the morning. By afternoon, I'm taking another one. And when I come back in the evening, I will take another one. And yet, my blood pressure was going high. I say, oh my goodness. I say, and yet I will quote by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. And we will go to church and I hear all these things. I kept on wondering, what's going on? And it just simply happened that even though I was quoting that scripture, it had not become a reality here. It was not a reality here. I knew the Bible said by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. And I quote it and I thank God for that. And yet I was so sick. I didn't really understand what was going on for me. So, I just, his life challenged me. Because he was always, standing by the scriptures. So, I began to, say that this, something must be wrong somewhere. Is it that, I know God is not a liar. I must be getting this thing wrong somewhere. And I started looking for everything I can get on scriptures concerning healing. I went to the Bible, started reading every story about how Jesus healed people, all those stories, and then he gave me some material that I was also reading, and I started meditating on it. I said, look, is it that God is not a liar? The fault must be mine. And then I began to gather scriptures on healing, and I began to meditate on that. I began to meditate on that, And even the more I was meditating, the more when I lie down to sleep, so one man would tell me, remember, this was what killed your mom. It's in your family. You better do this, or you better do that. I say, no. My case is different. I'm a child of God. I now belong to the family of God. So it is not my portion. But even as I was saying that, I was also kind of fearful. I say, I don't know if I just kept on, taking that medication, but at the same time, the thing was kept on going higher. So, one day we were traveling to, I think, in New Hampshire. We had a meeting there. So, some of the CDs that my husband put on scriptures, pertaining to healing, I started listening to that, and then we got over there. It was about 5 hours plus something. Meanwhile, I was always feverish. It was all part of why I was taking the Tylenol. Then when we got over there, I said, God, your word is true. The devil is a liar. I must be getting you wrong somewhere. Something must have to give way today. I'm not going to take this anymore. And then I kept on meditating until at a point, it's like something happened on the inside of me. It's like I got that knowing within me. And the moment I got that knowing, there was this kind of joy that bubbled in my heart. I said, yes, I got it. I said, I'm healed. Say, Satan, you're a liar. You can't rob me anymore. I am healed. So my husband, when he came into the room, I said, okay, look, I am healed. And then I became so happy. It's like, you know, when you know that you know that you know, it's here. Oh my goodness. I was so happy. I was bubbling with joy. I went for the fellowship that evening. I was so happy, like walking majestically as somebody who had been healed. When you know that you know that you know, you will know. Amen? And you know, the battle now came. The devil said, okay, so if you are healed, then you are still taking the medication. I took it that night. I said, I know I'm healed. Then the next day, I said, no. If I'm healed, then I don't need to take it. You don't have to follow me, because you have to have the knowing that I had before you can do that. It doesn't have to be a mental something. The next day, I didn't take it. The second day, I didn't take it. And from that day on, it's like my health began to spring forth. And from that 2009 till today, nothing. My husband bought me something I was using to check my blood pressure. It was normal. From that 150 something, it came crashing down to 119. Sometimes I'll get it to be 115. Sometimes I get it to be 121. It kept varying like that, but no more beyond that 122. Amen? But you have to have the knowing, because I latched onto what the word said and I began to meditate on it. I had it written here and there until it dawned on me. And the moment it happened, the joy was coming from here. That knowing was coming from here, and that settled it for me. Amen? So I just kept thanking God, and that was it. Amen? God wants us to patiently trust Him that what is written is true. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, 36, it says, patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. What is God's will? The Bible said, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested to destroy what? The works of darkness. So when you're standing resisting everything that contradicts what the Bible said is for you, you are doing the will of God. When you're standing resisting sickness, resisting poverty, resisting depression, resisting discouragement, you are doing the will of God. You are on the right camp. You're fighting with Jesus. You are co-laborers with Him. You don't have to give in to any of those things. The Bible says, who resists, steadfast in the faith. Amen? So it says, patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. You will receive all that He's promised as you patiently wait. That's part of suffering for Him. So that you don't have to give in based on your natural senses. You have to give in to what the word said. That's why he said in verse 37 of that Hebrews chapter 10, he said, For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay, and my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. Amen? God wants us to actively stand against whatever contradicts what Jesus Christ died to give us. So when you actively stand against these things, you are doing the will of your Father, and the Father is pleased. And God Himself said that He will reward you. He's a faithful rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So you overcome that evil, that sickness, or whatever it is, by doing good. And that doing good is choosing to go God's route. A person of faith does not allow circumstances surrounding him or her change his or her confidence in what the Word of God said concerning his or her case. You don't allow circumstances But then you have to be mindful of what you're focusing on. The Bible says, be careful what you think. Your life is shaped by your thought. Those things that you're thinking about will kind of defeat you. That's why you say, looking away from all that will distract unto who? Unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Looking away from all that will distract, looking away from those symptoms, unto what the world said. Whatever the world said, focus on that. That is where your victory lies. Amen? So you strongly believe that God is faithful to his promises and therefore is assured that because of Jesus and because of the Lord's mercies, the word of God will always produce. That's the man or the woman of faith. The Bible said we should through faith imitate those who through patience inherit the promise. And he gave us an example. He said in Hebrews 6:12 that we do not become sluggish. Don't become inactive. Be actively engaged in standing on what the word said. We should imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. And he gave us an example with Sarah. He said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, by faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive a child, even when she was long past the normal age for it. Anybody around her would have said, woman, what's wrong with you? Don't you realize? Even medical science say that once you get to this age, okbari, no more. But the Bible said that because she considered him who had given her the promise to be reliable and true to his word. She considered him who had given her the promise to be reliable and true to his word. That's how in every of those situations, the moment you find the word that covers it, stick to that. Know that God is faithful and reliable to his promises. Amen? He can be depended upon. James chapter 1, 6 to 8. James 1, 6 to 8. The Bible said there, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Let's read it together. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Verse 7, such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Then verse 8, their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. In how many things? In other words, by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. But at the same time, there are other things that you're doing behind the scene. God will never share his glory with anyone. He's not going to do that. And that's why he said, be sure that your faith is in God alone. He doesn't like divided loyalty. He wants you to just simply trust him. That's why he said, they that come to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek and search him out. So, and that's why he said in verse 5 of the same James chapter 1, he said, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. If you need wisdom, and who is our wisdom? The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24, that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. He's already in you, but you don't have a revelation of it. So if you don't have a revelation of it, ask from the Father and he will give it to you. The Bible said in verse 30 of that 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said that God, you know, whom God made our wisdom from God. God made Jesus our wisdom. And where is he? Where is he? He's in you. We are his resident address. But you don't have a revelation of that. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 2 verse 3, in him all the treasures of divine wisdom, comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and all the riches of spiritual knowledge and enlightenment are stored up and lie hidden. You have to search it in you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But you don't understand the extent of the power that you're carrying. We are carriers of God's power, and it's in us. That's why we need a revelation of it. So you now understand why Paul, you know, prayed this prayer. And the day my husband taught this in 2009, during our Watch Night service, I wrote it out. And ever since that day, every day I pray this prayer for myself, I pray for my family. And Ephesians chapter 1, 17 to 20, Paul said there, he said, "For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints he set apart once. And so that you can know and understand, you can know and understand, you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in you and for you, in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." You need a revelation of this. And that's why you pray for that. As you're studying the word of God, you should be searching, you should be praying for this revelation. Revelation of the power and the wisdom of God that is embedded in you. So no wonder again, in Colossians 2, 6, 7, Paul was encouraging us that we must continue to follow him. You remember when we said that he gave us all these promises, that we get them through the full and concise and personal knowledge of him and of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God is the wisdom God has given to you and I. Verse 7 of that Colossians chapter 2 says, "Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thanksgiving." You will overflow with thanksgiving because you now begin to understand the wisdom and the power of God, and you begin to appropriate things based on the power and the wisdom of God, and things begin to happen for you, and your joy is full. That's always saying, "Father, to you be all the glory." Say, "You will overflow with thanksgiving." Amen? Jesus said, "All things are possible to him that believe in him." All things, how many things? Whatever he thinks, whatever it is. We are singing this morning, "I have a very big God." It's Agidi Bao. Your God is so big, he's too big. He is way too big for anything. There is no situation that is beyond your Father. Nothing at all. We don't really understand who we are in Christ Jesus. We are carriers of God's power. Dynamite power. But it comes by revelation, because he said those things are hidden. You have to dig them out by searching the scriptures, meditating on the word of God. So your faith grows as you spend more and more time studying and meditating on the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18 says, "And all of us, as with unveiled face," do we have it? Okay, let's read it together. Ready, go. "And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever increasing splendor, and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Amen? So he said, as you continue to behold in the word of God, as in a mirror. Before I left the house this morning, I had to check out myself in the mirror. What I saw in the mirror is just a reflection of me. It's not the real me. But I had to believe what I saw in the mirror to adjust properly so that I make sure I dress properly. The word of God reflects the real you. The real you is Jesus Christ. As he is, so are we. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. So as you keep on beholding
the one that is you. The Bible says our real lives are hidden in Christ and Christ with God. That is Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. So as you keep on beholding, then you begin to walk like you are, the real you. You begin to conform to the real you. And that's why he said that as you continue to behold the word of God, as in a mirror, he said, the glory of the Lord are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. That's what happens. Amen? Now, see, you know, when I remember that when I married my husband happened to be the only son, you know, and then he had three other ones. The two of them were adopted. Like, we adopted in the family of God, so we all became one family. So I remember that for some years, I wasn't pregnant. I remember some people would come and say, you know, she's still like that. Some of them will rub my stomach. She's still like that. I said, don't forget that this is the only child. They will kind of remind me, you know. You know, so our people, they think they were just being honest. But, you know, like as if I was the one that had to manufacture the child. You know, so it was really hurting. So I kept on praying. I said, God, I know that you blessed my mom, four children. So my case is not different. You are faithful. And I remember that my mom used to tell me, you are the God before whom all things are possible, which is my mom will usually coin it in Igbo because we were reading about Igbo Bible at the time. But in English, it's Jeremiah 32:27, where the Bible said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And I remembered that when it was difficult for us to go to school, you know, difficult for me to get into college, how I trusted God and I stood on this scripture. She never quoted this scripture for us, but she would normally start her prayer with that. I said how I held God, and I said, God, that you're able to provide this feast. And how God provided that feast that night. By morning, somebody came from a distance and provided that money for me, and I was able to go to college, you know, with that. You know, what we call college in Nigeria is a secondary school, you know, not like here. So, and I say, you, God, you are very faithful. So, and when they yab me, some of them will say, Dorothy, you are not serious at all. You are not serious about becoming pregnant. I say, what the hell do they mean? And then finally, you know, one day, you know, because my husband will go to work and come back around 5:36. So each time I get back from my own from school, I will normally take a pillow and put under my thing, and I began to parade the mirror. I said, this is how I'm going to look. That God is faithful. He's God before whom all things are possible. I was going to be pregnant, and that finally I became pregnant and I had my first shishu. And then I thought it was going to continue. Then at 4 and something years, nothing was happening again, and they started yabbing me again. And then I just held on to this scripture again, because that was all I knew. I didn't even know where it was in the Bible, but I was just usually telling God, I said, you are the God before whom all things are possible. When we went to the best hospital in Nigeria, and they gave up on us, and I said, you know, we had tried, we will encourage you to go and adopt children. I said, no. I said, the God that created human being, that gave them wisdom to manufacture airplane and gave human beings the wisdom to fly that, how many thousands of feet suspended there, that is able to also manufacture, because he's the one that made me to manufacture whatever needed to be manufactured inside my stomach or take out whatever needed to be taken out. I started praying. We were not born again at the time. And somebody took us to a place where we finally gave our lives to Christ. And then the person was praying. When we gave our lives to Christ, and then, you know, the person prayed for us. And then I became pregnant with my second child. That's why we called him the gift from God. That boy is really a gift to us. Amen? So, and then after some time, the third one also came. You know, my third child. And I say, wow, that's wonderful. So the thing has opened. So, you know, I mean, for three boys, you know. So I wanted the fourth one, but nothing was happening. And I prayed and prayed, and something began to tell me that God already did family plan for you, so you don't have to worry. I said, no. I prayed. I said, I wanted a girl. It wasn't forthcoming. I wasn't becoming pregnant. And then every time we go to that fellowship, I will be praying, say, God, please make this man of God to remember our prayer so that he will mention us. So he will mention us before you so that you will answer our prayer so that I will become pregnant. And nothing was happening. You know? So the thing is that God wants us to live by his word. He doesn't want us. Miracles are for babies. See, God did that miracle and gave me miracle of faith, the gift of faith, and prayed for me based on the man of God's faith, and I got my children. But God does not want me to continue to live like that. And that's the same thing for you. That's why our text says, the just shall live by his faith. Faith in what God said. God knew that if he had allowed me, every day I would keep on, each time I would be praying, and even though I would go to church, I'm not really paying attention to the teachings going on. I was just waiting for the end of the preaching so that the man of God would start praying and say, they saw this person over there. And I would be longing for him to mention my name. And it never happened. Until one day, we moved over to First Square. I thank God for my husband. That man he loves God so dearly. And fellowships with the word of God. And the Spirit of God opened his eyes to see what we were lacking. And how he moved us to First Square. It was a miracle. It was a testimony on its own. So, it takes time for the word of God to develop root in you. It takes time. And you have to be a seeker of the truth for God to reveal that truth to you. Remember what we said that in him, in Christ, Colossians chapter 1 verse 3, are hidden, 2 verse 3, all the treasures of the wisdom of God. They are hidden there. You have to seek it out. You grow to the point the word of God becomes more real to you than whatever your natural senses are telling you. Like it happened to me that time I was meditating concerning my healing. It got to the point where the word became more real to me than whatever I was feeling. And that was when joy hit my heart. And that was when the knowing happened. And that was when I knew I got it. It's like you say, I hit the jackpot. So, because it takes root, God wants me to pay attention to his word, to know him by his word and not by miracles. Amen? Jesus already sent his word. The Bible said he sent his word and healed us and delivered us from all the destructions of the enemy. So God needed me to focus on his word. And when I began to hear scriptures, the teachings, one of the things that opened my eyes was when somebody began to teach us on Genesis chapter 1. From verse 26 to 28. So where the Bible said that, God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness. And he said, and God made man in his own image after his likeness. He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He said, you should know that you are the one to do family planning. Don't accept anything. The person didn't even know that those things had been going on my mind. And while he was preaching, he said, that's the Spirit of God. He said, don't ever accept the lie from the pit of hell that the devil has to do family planning for you. You have to do it. God said you should be fruitful, you should multiply and replenish the earth until you're satisfied. That's when you can now say, no, I'm done. I said, wow, that's true. And then I got home that day, that night. I said, devil, you've been lying to me. You've been lying. Now I catch you red-handed. I said, I am fruitful. God gave me fruit. Because when he created us, he said that we have to have the ability to replenish. And he said, I should go and multiply and replenish the earth. I said, therefore, I am not barren. I am fruitful. You are not going to stop me anymore. Very soon, my baby is going to show up because I am fruitful. And I began to meditate on that again. And then all of a sudden, I had that knowing. I said, I'm pregnant. I wasn't pregnant at the time, but I began to say, I am pregnant. I am pregnant. Father, I thank you. Because the moment you receive that knowing, you know that you know, you begin to thank God because you believe you have received. And I said, I'm thanking God, not for him to do it for me, but because I believe he has done it. And I don't think it took up to 1.5 months. I became pregnant with my last born. And one other thing I said when I was praying that prayer, I said, Lord, maybe perhaps I've been asking for a girl. I said, Lord, if you have need of a boy, I'm ready to carry him. And then he showed up. Amen? God wants you to know him by his word, not by miracle. Miracles are for babies. As you keep growing in the house of God, make sure you're growing in the word. You can imagine what happens if your child remains a baby every day, still doing things that children do. There is no parent that will be happy. God wants his children to be matured, to take him at his word. Amen? And any word that you do not understand, the devil will steal it. That's why you have to study to understand. You study, you meditate. Mark chapter 4, 15 and 25. Mark 4, 15 and 25, verse 15 says, these in the first group are the ones along the road where the word is sown. But when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. You must study with an intention to understand. You must pay attention when the word of God is going on with an intention to understand. Verse 25 says, for whoever has a teachable heart, for whoever values the word of God, values the wisdom of God, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, to him more understanding will be what? Given. And whoever does not have a yearning for truth, the hidden treasure, even what he has will be taken away from him. You have to be a seeker of the truth. You have to set a high priority on the word of God. When you know that the word of God is your life, because he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, then you must listen with intention to understand. Whether you are in the church where a preaching is going on, or you're studying the word of God for yourself, you must be paying attention with intention to understand. Because the more revelation you receive, the more revelation God will give you if you keep responding to whatever revelation he has given you already. Amen? And we must never get tired of hearing and hearing. You will not say, I've heard this before now. Oh, I heard this. It was in order. I already know it. Don't ever get to that point, because you'll be missing out. Because that's how revelation comes. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen? Isaiah 28, 9 and 10. Let's read it together. Isaiah 28, 9 and 10. Ready, go. Who does the Lord think we are? They ask. Why does he speak to us like this? Are we little children just recently weaned? He tells us, verse 10, he tells us everything over and over, one line at a time. One line at a time, a little here and a little there. Don't join that group. Don't join that group. Be willing to listen, because that's the only way revelation comes. You keep listening and listening and listening and listening, and then faith will show up. That's why, you know, Peter, in recounting their experience as an eyewitness with Jesus Christ in 2 Peter chapter 1, 16 to 21. He said, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, his grandeur, his authority, his sovereignty. Not sovereignty the way the world looks at it today. God is sovereign, yes, but then that is if you submit to him. If God is sovereign in the way, in the sense the world is thinking about him today, he would have just done that and everybody in the world would be saved. Because it is not his will that any man should be saved. But it is not the will of God that any man should perish, that all should come unto repentance. As you yield to him, he takes charge of your life for you. Amen? And then he said, part of verse 17, for when he was invested with honor and the radiance of the Shekinah glory from God the Father, such a voice as this came to him from the splendid, majestic glory in the bright cloud that overshadowed him, saying, this is my son, my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased and delighted. God is pleased and delighted in Jesus, and because Jesus is in us, God is also pleased and delighted in us. If you read that account in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, where it was accounted first, it said, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. God wants us to listen to his son, to listen to whatever he has to tell us. Verse 18, and we actually heard this voice met from heaven when we were together with him on the holy mountain, 19. So we have the prophetic word made more certain. In other words, he's trying to convey to us the certainty of the word of God, the certainty of what Jesus did for us. So that when you cover, when you get a word that covers whatever you need, stand on it, because that word is as sure as God is. Amen? And he said, you do well, but I'm still reading verse 19, you do well to pay close attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place. What is that dark place? Your heart, the confusion in your heart. Like it happened to me, that time that I was, meditating on the word for my healing. He said, until the day dawns and light breaks, the light of the revelation of the word of God breaks through the gloom in your heart, and the morning star arises in your heart. That's when I got the revelation, I got the light, I got the joy, and I knew I got it. But you have to, until then, keep on meditating and meditating until you have that knowing on the inside of you. Amen? So we are the blessed through our life of obedience to the faith as we keep responding to the word of God. Psalm 1, verse 2 says, from verse 1, it says, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, and purposes, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sit down to relax and rest. Where do you relax and rest? Where the scornful and the mockers gather. He said, but his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord. And on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. And look at the result. Verse 3. And it shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its what? Season. There are times and seasons for everything. So when the time for each one comes and the season for that one comes, you find yourself, enjoying the fruit of it. Amen? He said, its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. Everything he does, because he takes instruction from the Father. He makes sure his line conforms to the word of God. He agrees with God. And of course, we know that all the promises of God, they are all in Christ Jesus, yes. And we just have to simply put our agreement by saying, amen. So be it. Amen? Proverbs 13, verse 13 says, let's read it together. Whoever despises the word and counsel of God brings what? Destruction upon himself. But he who reverently fears and respects the commandments of God is what? Is rewarded. The word you believe, you will see the reward of it. But if you despise the counsel of God, say, well, I have got to do it my way. Like the one man that I was preaching to last time the women went out. He said, you people are just wasting your time worshiping that God. Where was that God when this happened to my family? When this happened to my family? It's because he doesn't know that God was searching out for us in love. And we're busy doing our own thing. When you come, he said, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. God loves us so dearly. And his plan is for us to have this joy to the full until it overflows. For that's the reason why Jesus Christ came. So we must be among those that take the word of God seriously, that set a high priority on the word of God. God wants us to set a priority on the words of his son Jesus Christ, to believe him. And the angels of God will always respond to the word of God that is speaking out in faith through our mouth. So we have to fill our hearts with the word of God so that our language will be the language of faith, to speak in conformity to the word of God. No wonder God gave us in the church teachers. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 said that God gave us some in the church as pastors, as teachers. And the reason is in verse 12. And he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service, to build up the body of Christ, the church, until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness, and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity. That's the will of the Father. Amen? Praise the Lord. So it comes when you begin to make first thing first. You make the word of God your priority. You see, I was healed. But you know, I remember twice now I have been challenged. I saw my blood pressure came up higher. It was because I neglected certain things. I neglected the word of God. And I knew why it happened. And then I went back to the word of God and it crashed again. Amen? So you must have to consistently continue to believe. It's not that the devil will not try you out again, but you have to keep on standing on the word of God and keep on actively resisting him. So your faith must have to stick with what the word of God said, no matter what. And your language must have to be in line with what the word of God said concerning you. Amen? So I challenge us today to be the men and the women of faith that stand by the word of God. God is faithful to his promises and is eager to confirm his word. He said he will confirm his word through signs and wonders following. It is the spiritual that controls the natural. God calls those things that be not as though they were. So you must see whatever you need that the word of God covers, you must see it as real. You must agree with that and keep thanking God for that. But you have to meditate on that word until it becomes a revelation to you. And then you just keep thanking God about it. And before you know it, the answers to your prayers will come. Jesus prayed for us that God should keep us by his word. And even he himself lived by the word of God. If you look at John chapter 5, verse 30. Can we have that on the screen? John 5:30. AMPC. Say, let's read it together. I am able to do nothing from myself, independently of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God, and as I get his orders. Even as I hear, I judge. I decide as I am bidden to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right and just, righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. That should be our heart desire, not to do anything of our own accord. And as you keep praying in the Holy Spirit, as you fellowship with the Word of God, as you pay attention to the Word of God, you keep receiving deeper and deeper revelation. I don't forget what I read from one Kenneth Hagin magazine. That man said, the more he prays in the Holy Spirit, the more revelation of the Word of God he got. Now, I just read it recently, and that confirms to me why my husband was always praying in the Holy Spirit and why he was always getting deeper and deeper revelation. And each time I get so amazed at the revelation that comes out of his mouth. The Bible said in Jude, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. This covet to know Jesus, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God, and choose to live by faith. Shall we all rise?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.